This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Something real calm,
yeah, soothing.
To bring this tension level down just a little bit here on 92.7 WMDX.
It's going to be a nice day, 35 degrees currently, high near 40, a mix of clouds and sunshine.
As we promised, the Jake Tapper interview with Stephen Miller.
Okay, now that we've calmed down.
This is just a disaster. Now, I mentioned, you know, that the Medicaid site across the country were down. You know, no one could access the sites, and that meant that, of course, Medicaid was on hold, right? A national hold. And that has been, of course, paused by a judge, thank God.
Till Monday.
Yeah. So anyway, Jake Tapper didn't bring that up, but he did talk to Steve Miller about the confusion about all of this, you know, the freeze on federal aid. So why don't we listen to that right now? It's great stuff. And, you know, again, Republicans are in control of every branch of government at this point, yet it's the liberals who are at fault. Let's check this out.
Is this seemed to a lot of groups and a lot of states, Republicans, Democrats, independents, like a very sweeping order, and there is confusion. I just want to make sure I understand. So anybody out there that provides school lunches. Anybody out there?
Yeah, there's zero impact on public benefit programs, full stop, as OMB has made clear. Overwhelmingly, the career federal service in this country is far left, left wing.
I don't know that to be a fact.
Well, I'll give you a great example. We looked at USAID as an example.
That's
98% of the workforce either donated to Kamala Harris or another left-wing candidate, just as an example.
Okay, but now demonizing an entire workforce is having a...
Wait. Did you just say that saying someone voted for Kamala Harris is demonizing them?
No.
So according...
your suggestion is that there's a bias.
No, but you used the word demonizing. You just said that I'm demonizing somebody by saying they voted for Kamala Harris.
Let's get back on track.
I am on track.
Okay.
Let me stay on track. What I'm saying to you is this. There are 2 million employees in the federal government.
Right.
They're overwhelmingly left of center.
Again,
the American people, I got to finish the sentence.
Okay.
I got to finish the sentence. The American people voted for dramatic change implemented by Donald Trump.
No.
So it is essential for him to get control of government, to establish a whole of government process for Donald Trump's political appointees to review discretionary grants of spending for pet projects that are not directed by Congress. In other words, these are pots of money where Congress hasn't said how to spend it or where to spend it. I can't help it if left-wing media outlets published a fake news story that caused confusion. If you read the OMB guidance memo,
I don't know what left-wing
media. It's as clear as day.
We just talked to Congressman Don Bacon, a Republican, a Trump supporter. We just interviewed him. He said that there was a lot of confusion. He said that the executive order
created by the media, Jake. The OMB guidance memo, if you read it, is as clear as day.
It's pretty broad and confusingly written.
I can't.
Parts of it are about DEI. Parts of it on all disbursement. It is.
Yeah, DEI suspended. That is correct.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, it's kind of all over the map, and there is confusion, and it's not just liberal media.
Jake, tell me.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski.
No,
okay. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said, quote, nobody really knows how long, unquote, this review of these federal funds is going to last. And she said it's, quote, been a big challenge, unquote, to get answers from the Trump administration.
There you go.
That's it.
And of course, then we found out that all the Medicaid websites were out for the day.
Yep.
They're coming back real soon. They tried to backtrack on it. Say, well, we had a little outage here, but they'll be back. Don't worry about it. They're back. Well, I don't know yet. We haven't heard that they've come back yet.
Just coincidentally, they had an outage.
Yes, at the same time they froze all the aid. Oh, okay. Huh. Well, that's it. Just amazing coincidence. All right. Well, anyway, the big story that we put off for that wonderful back and forth from Jake Tapper and Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that guy has a real problem. You know, they can't do anything without blaming the left for something. The media outlets all across the country put out misinformation just like that. Isn't that amazing how that happened?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they have an audience that'll believe that stuff, right? All right, professional athletes throughout the United States often face enormous federal income tax payments to go along with their massive contracts. However, a tax plan set forward by Trump would ease that tax burden for those well-compensated athletes.
Oh, boy.
We're doing
really?
This for them. Yeah. The hell with the rest of the world and the economies based on taxes. Trump proposed abolishing income tax in the United States and replacing it with a system of import tariffs to generate revenue for the government. This is what happens when you put a guy who thinks this fantasy has about tariffs being the answer to everything, putting it in place countrywide, globally. That depends on not on tariffs, but at actual taxes. Anyway, never mind. Trump referred to the import tariff system as a system that's made us richer, declaring that the period between 1870 and 1913 was the wealthiest in the history of the United States utilizing an import tariff system. Well, I got news for you. I found a web wisdom here, and this is from a historian at a place called In the Past Lane. I love that title. The Tariff Truth. Let's listen.
So did you hear about all the historical nonsense that President Trump said about President William McKinley? Yeah, Trump is a super fanboy of the 25th president and his high tariff policies. Let's take a look.
He was a very successful businessman.
No, he wasn't. McKinley was not a businessman. Mm-hmm. He was a lawyer and a career politician.
He was a senator from Ohio.
Wrong again. McKinley never served in the Senate. But please, tell us more about William McKinley.
Who believed strongly in tariffs.
Now that is true. When McKinley was in the House of Representatives, he was the driving force behind what became known as the McKinley Tariff, which was passed in 1890. It jacked up tariffs to their highest levels ever.
He made the country very rich because tariffs, you know, we were our wealthiest in the 1890s.
Alas, also false. Number one, the higher tariffs caused the prices of many consumer goods to rise, thereby making the average American poorer, not richer. As a consequence, McKinley lost his bid for re-election, and his Republican Party suffered a massive defeat at the polls. And number two, even without the McKinley tariff, America was not at its wealthiest in the 1890s. In 1893, the economy collapsed, plunging the nation into 4 years of devastating economic depression.
All right.
Tens of thousands of businesses and farms failed, and the unemployment rate hit 25%.
Wow.
So, Mr. President, even by your standards, that is an impressive amount of historical ignorance. And you know what that means, people. By the power vested in me as your historian at large, I hereby nominate Donald Trump for a 2025 Weemsy Award, his fourth already this year. The Weemsies are awarded every December to spotlight the stupid, the false, and the outrageous things that people in public life say about American history.
So declaring that the period between 1870 and 1913 was the wealthiest in the history of the United States, that is according to Trump, is completely untrue and the wrong thing to base getting rid of an income tax and going to a tariff system. I mean, seriously, that would completely destroy this country.
You know, it's William McKinley's birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Bill.
Oh.
How old would he have been?
Well, he was born in 1843, so
he would have been really
182,
old.
I think. He's getting up there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, what a coincidence, right? I mean, you know, bringing this all to a head.
Right.
All right, well, the big thing today is the RFK hearings.
Yeah, confirmation hearings are
happening
today.
They're definitely
today.
Going to grill him and bring up a few points. And Caroline Kennedy, who, you know, we remember in the past,
Yeah,
the
JFK's daughter and, you know. She was she and John Jr. Yeah. John.
We're standing there.
Yeah.
And it was one of the great moments, great pictures of all time. Yeah. But Caroline came out not exactly talking up her cousin. So let's listen to this track right now.
I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator.
Yikes.
He's always been charismatic, able to attract others through the strength of his personality, his willingness to take risks and break the rules. I watch his younger brothers and cousins follow him down the path of drug addiction. His basement, his garage, his dorm room were always the center of the action, where drugs were available, and he enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice in a blender to feed to his hawks. God. It was often a perverse scene of despair and violence. Today, while he may encourage a younger generation to attend AA meetings, Bobby is addicted to attention and power. Bobby preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids, while building a following hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs. It's incomprehensible to me that someone who is willing to exploit their own painful family tragedies for publicity would be put in charge of America's life and death situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she put it all out there.
That is...
sent that letter to Congress.
Quite revealing, you know, putting... Yeah. Creatures, animals, into a blender. We don't know whether they were alive or dead, but it's still kind of grotesque.
Yeah, kind of.
little
chickens.
Just
and
add that to the hearings today.
And mice.
You can just go to the pet store and buy a mouse if you have a hawk to feed. Why do you got to throw a chicken in a blender? What is
and mice.
Up with him?
He had to mix them.
Yeah.
He had to mix them and blend them.
Still.
Yeah.
What
he's,
is up with
he's
this
nuts.
Guy?
Hey,
well, there's not much you can say.
I know it's the hearings will happen today.
The hearings,
we'll see what kind of effect this has.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do well. I think it's going to be over before it starts almost.
Well, a lot of people are saying that he's not going to get the approval in this particular case. I mean, this might be a loss for Trump. Cash Patel is another person they don't think is going to make it. In fact, maybe none of them are going to make it. No, actually,
well,
I predicted that every one of these people will be put in place, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad they are.
If Hegseth can make it, I think any one of
them. Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. They said she's the person who's not going to make it. She's going to make it.
Boy, that's your prediction.
Yep. All of them are getting in.
Coming back with more of John and Gordy right around the corner.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX.
Let's find out what's going on in the weather around Wisconsin with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Time for Merlot in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Merlot madness in the morning.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, we had kind of a windy day yesterday. And what do we got coming up today and in the next couple of days?
Yeah, so still a little breezy today, but not nearly as bad as yesterday. Gusts are around 30, 35 miles per hour. They'll ease up through this afternoon, but temperatures a little cooler than yesterday. We'll be at about 40 degrees. Complaining, right?
I hate that.
What was our high
really interesting.
Yesterday? I think upper 40s, right?
Yeah, 49 degrees.
Okay.
And we're just 3 degrees away from your record of 52.
Wow.
So just a little shy.
Yeah.
But we've got an interesting weather pattern. So we've got a cold front that's draping through the state. Then it stalls pretty much right over you guys today, and then it turns into a warm front and then lifts right back towards me and warms us all up tomorrow to the low 50s. So
wow.
That's going to be...
Oh, man.
Yeah. Great. That's going to be record-breaking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does this continue into the weekend at that point?
We are looking at the low 40s still hanging on for Friday. Mm-hmm. Then we kind of see the system push through where we are looking at rain moving in, switching over to some snowfall. So that's going to drag our temperatures down as that system passes. So Saturday, highs are falling to the upper 30s. But by Sunday, you rebound back to the upper 40s. Oh. How's that roller coaster?
I like it.
So you mentioned rain changing to snow. When's that happening?
Yeah, so that looks like it could move in late Thursday, and then by Friday morning, we could have some light snow there, but nothing major, honestly. It looks like it stays a little bit more towards Illinois.
All right.
We're not going to – do you think we're going to get any major snow at all this winter?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting kind of late. No, I agree with you. There is a system that does want to hit Saturday. Right now, it's targeting the north and leaving you guys alone. Mm-hmm. But as all the other systems have done, they've seemed to trend south. So keep a heads up for Saturday just in case.
Okay. All right, Brittany.
Will do.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
One.
Yeah.
Okay, take
care. Talk
to you tomorrow.
All right. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist.
Well, you know, the Supreme Court is going to be making a decision very, very soon about Act 10, or at least, you know, somewhere in the not-too-distant future anyway. Mm. And Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have a plan, not a secret plan.
They might have been a secret at one time.
They've got this con going now, and they're seeking to force the liberal Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz off, at least to recuse herself, from the Act 10 case, okay? But it's not that unfair. They're also asking the other conservative justice to take him off the case because he worked for Scott Walker at the time. And I'm just, I spaced the guy's name, the justice's name. What is it?
Schimmel?
No.
That's he's running.
He's a candidate.
Oh.
Anyway, so they want an even split here. They want a liberal justice to recuse themselves from the Act 10 case, and they want the more liberal-ish conservative justice to also recuse himself, okay? Now, here's the thing. If this case goes longer and Schimmel wins the election and becomes our next Supreme Court justice, that means that the Republicans will again have the majority in the Supreme Court. Right now, it sounds equal, right? Liberal, conservative, recused, okay, that's even split, that's great, but all of a sudden, wait a minute, if Schimmel wins, then, of course, Act 10 will probably survive.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
So what do we got here?
I got the list of the Supreme Court.
Brian Hagedorn?
Hagedorn,
okay.
He helped write Act 10, is that
right? That's
right.
Yeah, some aspects of it, and he was asked at the time whether he would recuse himself in case that ever came up, and he said, well, it depends on what comes up. And same thing with Protasiewicz. She said, well, I don't know yet. I'd have to see what the problem is, what they'd be looking at. Of course, it's the whole act.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, it's pretty obvious what they're looking at here. But I don't think either of them should recuse themselves. We haven't seen that happen on the Supreme Court of our land. We never see that happen when the Republicans were dominant in the state Supreme Court. They never recuse themselves either. But all of a sudden, we're supposed to start, you know, towing the line and recusing ourselves and playing fair with the Republicans. Not going to happen. It's just a bad idea. Truly a bad idea. And here is a little cut, 152. Look for cut 152, Brad Schimmel, where he positions himself on the January 6th insurrectionists. Let's listen to this.
Okay. Today, Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel said anyone convicted for assaulting a police officer during the 2021 attack should be held accountable. in a stance his opponent, Dean County Judge Susan Crawford, agrees with. But Schimmel, who's backed by conservatives, also did not object to President Trump's power to pardon 1,500 people who were convicted or pled guilty to committing violent crimes on January 6th.
President Biden has issued pardons. President Trump has now issued pardons as he's come in. And presidents over history have done that. It's a power they have. I don't object to them utilizing that power.
All right.
Yeah, we got a text here from Robert who says, we voted for our judges. They don't get to tell us who sits on the court. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know? I'm with him on that.
Yeah.
But this thing, this is a huge case. I have a question as to why we have this liberal majority at this point on the Supreme Court. They took the case of abortions, and now they haven't done anything about it. And are they going to do something about it before the election? Because that could change everything on the Supreme Court.
Hmm.
So why are they waiting? Is this like a fairness thing, you know, where the liberals, well, we don't want to look like we're rushing ahead to approve abortions in the state, so we're going to wait until after the election.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No.
Just make a judgment and get this thing over with. My
Absolutely.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, what is this?
What are they waiting for?
Why? Because they want to appear fair. Well, they're the Democrats. They're the liberals. We play fair. They don't. Okay, sure.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or go to verlo.com. Right around the corner, Mike McCabe will join us after the Midwest Farm Report.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's morning. Time to wake up, get some coffee, and call your parole officer. It's John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
I'd like to thank everybody who reminded me that Brian Hagedorn is the Supreme Court Justice in the state.
You couldn't think of his name there.
But. I completely lost that train of thought, but appreciate Chris and Zach.
Yeah, you can text us with the Civic Media app or give us a call, 608-879-8255. We welcome Mike McCabe back as we do every Wednesday. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Right.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Great point in your Substack article this week, you know, because I mentioned it. I think I'm the first person in the country to have mentioned it. But I think that the first promise that Trump made was that he would be dictator on day one, and no one mentioned that that happened. And it's still happening, and he is the dictator in this country, basically just rewriting everything, constitutional law, congressional laws. He's just usurping everybody, and the Republicans in Congress are going along with all of this stuff. And where are the MAGAs who are so individualistic, who say that they're, you know, carrying out the constitutional order? What is happening to all of that? It's all just going to the wayside, and we're letting this individual rewrite history, as a matter of fact. How did we get to this point, Mike?
Help us, Mike. Help us.
What happened? How did we, you know, become this incredibly divided nation, because now they want to put us in camps, liberals, progressives, Democrats, pro-democracy individuals out there walking around innocently thinking they're safe, but not really. What happened?
Mike, over to you.
He's got the answer. I know he's got the answer. So no pressure, Mike.
Yeah, no pressure. You know, this has been decades in the making, as such moments always are. They're decades in the making. But I think the more important question is not how we got here, but where we go from here and how we get out of this. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time obsessing over the way things are, but we don't spend very much time imagining how things could be. And of course, we're going to have to do that. Yeah. If we're going to get out of this, we're going to have to imagine the world that we want to make. And we spend a lot of time, all of us, sort of obsessing over what's happening to us and what's going on here.
Is that a problem because of the Democrats not putting out some kind of platform that we have been working on for decade after decade after decade, giving people an idea of what we do stand for? If we did have that platform, a few things I mentioned earlier was, health care. Mm-hmm. If we had universal health care, if we had a plan in place that we could, carry it on day one if it was ever passed. I mean, people would know where we stood on that, and they would see the frailties and the bad parts of our current healthcare system in this country, especially after the assassination of the CEO executive at one of the insurance companies. Yep. That opened a lot of people's eyes. If we had this plan in place, we could have capitalized on it and pushed universal healthcare.
And, if there's a plan ready to go that you can promote, great. But if there's not, then imagine one.
Okay, that's it. And we don't, so let's imagine.
Think one up.
Yeah.
Look at what's really plaguing our country, and what is really causing insecurity, and what is really behind the anxiety that so many people are feeling, and address it. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't address it, and that continues to just fester,
right?
Eventually, it just erupts, and there's just this anger of let's break stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that Trump is relying on is that there is this national anxiety, and that people just want to break things. And so he says, let's just break stuff. Let's do buyouts of 2 million federal employees. Let's just stop providing money for government services. Let's just break stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the national psyche, there's something about that appeals to the current national psyche. So if people are angry, if they're frustrated, if it's boiling over, that anxiety, then I the solution is to say, what is really behind that anxiety, and let's address it head on.
Right.
And not with half measures, not with let's tinker around the edges a little bit and see if we can't make things a little bit better. Let's talk about how to actually fix stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening. There's not a national conversation about that kind of thing. You mentioned healthcare. There's been, really since the creation of Medicare.
Yeah.
There's only been more or less tinkering around the edges.
Right.
Even the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was an attempt to address some of the shortcomings in the healthcare system. Let's let the kids stay on their parents' insurance until they're age 26. That was a good thing.
And cover pre-existing conditions.
And let's try to prevent people from being kicked off their health insurance because of pre-existing conditions. But there wasn't a real national conversation of maybe we should just have a system where there's universal health coverage for everybody.
Well, they freaked out. The public option would have at least attempted that.
Yep.
And see how many people flow into the public option.
Yep.
Because then it would have been a choice by the public.
Exactly. And people and those who were advocating for health care reform did freak out. And they said, let's take that off the table because maybe that's too radioactive. Mm-hmm. That just allowed the frustration to continue to fester.
It took just one person, Joe Lieberman, to stop that whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's passed.
Yeah.
But now maybe the conditions are ripening to start those conversations again.
Well, what's going to happen is they're going to get rid of the tax credit, or part of the tax credit that was put in place, the additional tax credit they gave during COVID. They're not going to renew it, and that's going to raise the monthly premiums for the Affordable Care Act to heights that no one's going to be able to afford it anymore. I know before COVID, it was going up at $100, $150 every month. I mean, we were on it, and we saw the increases. And then when COVID happened and they gave that extra tax credit in there, that really made it affordable for us. If that goes away, it's going to go up to $250 to $350 to $400 a month. That's worse than any number you could create for inflation in this country.
And when you look at our ability as a country to address these kinds of problems, it does come all down to, you know, a little fact that I dropped in that article
in
Substack that you mentioned. If you look at the 40-year period that was basically the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, our country grew together as a nation. Mm-hmm. Every single income class got ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every single income class did better than inflation. So they actually made progress. And then in the next 40 years, from 1981 to 2021,
Ronald Reagan,
we grew apart as a nation. Mm-hmm. And here is the jaw-dropping figure. Over that 40-year period, $50 trillion got transferred from 90% of Americans to the wealthiest 1% of Americans.
That's amazing.
Whoa.
$50 trillion went from 90% of the population to 1% of the population that is the wealthiest of all.
And at the time, in the 50s, we had a 90% tax, almost a 90% tax.
On the top income you earned. Yeah. Exactly. And so we've got to start talking boldly about how to deal with that immense transfer of wealth from the middle class, from average Americans, to the super wealthy.
Yeah.
Because that's how you then make investments. When you had a top marginal income tax rate of 91% that the super wealthy would pay on the on the last dollars they collected, that tax rate allowed us to build the interstate highway system. That was done under President Eisenhower. We built an interstate highway system throughout America.
Right.
And we were able to take on that kind of an immense expenditure because we were having everybody pay their fair share. And that, of course, helped produce immense economic prosperity for everybody. And everybody was growing together. We've got to talk in this country about how to create conditions where everybody can prosper and the country can invest in the things that will solve the problems that are at the root of all this national anxiety.
Well, you know, the MAGAs, the Republicans, and Trump have it kind of reversed inside out because, you know, they want to go back to the 50s. It was such a great time for them. And yet the tax system is in reverse. It's reversed from what it was.
Yeah,
in
let's
the
give
50s.
Tax breaks to the to the athletes. So that...
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Right. Right. The whole thinking about how we prospered as a country for those 40 years that I mentioned. We're not even talking about that recipe anymore. The recipe is really the one that produced that massive shift in income, that massive shift in wealth from 90% of Americans to the top 1%.
Talking to Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. So how do you convince the super wealthy to give up some of their wealth? I mean, they're still going to be wealthy no matter what we tax them at. The billionaires would still be billionaires even if their tax rate went way up. But how do you convince them to let go of that money? What's the formula to?
Some of them might be convincible, but I think many of them wouldn't be. But it's about convincing most Americans, the majority of voters, that this is the thing that will produce shared prosperity, and that shared prosperity will be good for the super wealthy too. If you have a country that is prospering, the wealthy are gonna get a lot.
I would think they'd be making more money.
But exactly. There is an opportunity there for them to flourish. But they're going to have to share some of that wealth with the rest of the people of this country. If they can't take it all. And that's what they're doing right now, is they're taking it all. And they're leaving people in a desperate situation that is producing this anger that is getting people to this point where they're just saying, let's blow stuff up. Let's break stuff. Yeah. And Trump is exploiting that anxiety.
You want to check out that text here?
Yeah, we have a text coming in here. Bipartisanship is impossible without fundamental reforms. Truth and fact are now just opinions, and the Fox News Max sheep believe everything they're spoon-fed. Fix that, and then talk about bipartisanship and growing together.
But I think the way to break through that is to tell bold truths loudly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're saying, well, you know, but things are basically all right, and we if we just tinker a little bit, we'll be okay, and you know, we don't have to change we don't have to change a lot. We just have to kind of fiddle around with this a little bit. No, if you say we should be fundamentally altering our healthcare system, we should be fundamentally altering our tax system, we should be fundamentally altering national policy on all these fronts, those bold messages will get through. It's the timid messages that get enveloped and absolutely
exploited.
They absolutely get lost in the clutter.
Lost, fall apart. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was FDR that really kind of packaged it really, really well.
He did.
And if we could just find somebody who could duplicate that, do an impression, so to speak.
Do we need our own Project 2025?
Yeah.
Do we need a constitutional convention? I mean, would anybody?
No, not that.
That would be chaos.
Yes, it would. Yeah. But, we wouldn't have we're not like that, right? We don't put together a Project 2025, do we? Or should we?
Well, I don't know.
See, that's the plan,
I don't know
though.
That it has to be 900 pages long.
Yeah.
But there needs to be, you know, a half a dozen or a dozen very bold ideas that get put forward and then get repeated over and over and over again and said, we've got to deal with this stuff as a country. Yep. These are problems that our country has. We've got to address those problems.
Healthcare and raising taxes. That's
a good start.
That's ticket. Okay. 7:49. We'll be back with more with Mike McCabe in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 7:51, 92.7 WMDX. We're back with Mike McCabe for a few more minutes.
Yeah, we were talking about your latest article, and in there you talked about a quote from Lincoln and our motto, national motto. Could you explain some of that to us here? Tell us all about it, because I think that is kind of the roots of where we kind of went wrong after a while. A certain kind of thinking took over in this country.
Well, the founders gave us a national motto, E Pluribus Unum.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is Latin for out of many, one. Just that idea that you could create a single nation out of so many different states and so many different cultures and so many different people. And that motto sort of defined the American experiment for the first 180 years. And then in the post-World War II period with the Red Scare, people fearing godless communists at our doorstep, decided to set aside E Pluribus Unum as our national motto, and they passed a law, and President Eisenhower signed it to declare that In God We Trust would be the national motto that from that point forward.
Which is already a division.
And whether you like In God We Trust or not, what is striking is how very far away we are now from that ideal of E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah.
How far we've strayed from that notion. And when you think about how divided, how fractured our country has become we are a long way away from that ideal of a country that is out of many, one.
You know, I always thought that if we could just insert what Lincoln had said about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I mean, I think that's one of the best quotes ever mm-hmm. that could describe this country. Mm-hmm. If we could just insert it just because they let us insert mm-hmm. it into the Constitution. You know,
and that, of course, comes from the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that speech, maybe the greatest speech of all time, or certainly the best known speech of all time, was only 10 sentences long. It was less than 275 words, but it echoed through the ages, it's literally inscribed. It's etched in stone. You can find the Gettysburg Address, you know, etched in stone in various places around our country, mm-hmm. because it was only 10 sentences long. And that's when he said, he described democracy as government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we are so very far from that ideal as well. We've allowed plutocracy, oligarchy to kind of creep up on us and sink roots, almost unbeknownst to much of the population.
I think Tucker Carlson said it best with Daddy's home.
Oh, my God. I think they'll have that on Trump's memorial grave.
I think so. I don't know. You know, I had gone when I went to D.C. I went to the it was the News Museum or Newseum.
Newseum.
The Newseum.
Yeah, no longer exists.
Yeah, no
right?
longer. Mm-hmm. They took that away, and it was mm-hmm. just one of the most inspirational displays I'd ever been to. And mm-hmm. I can't believe that didn't support itself, or somebody didn't come in and say, mm-hmm. I'm going to fund this because this is the most important thing that we have going for us in this country. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it went out of business.
It did.
It was just, I mean, they had these great quotes, like, you know, government of the people, for the people, and they had all this free press stuff mm-hmm. in there, and it was just incredible stuff. I, you know, just, it kills me that that went out of business. And somebody in D.C. didn't think, let's keep that, you know?
I think they tried to keep, I think it's still, they have that online. You can see some of what they had, but I don't think they have a permanent address anywhere.
They had one of the pieces of the Twin Tower there.
Didn't did they?
I believe so. But I did go to the Spy Museum, and I got my FBI t-shirts there. which, by the way, you know, every time I see the FBI, they actually wear these exact t-shirts, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm walking around with a FBI t-shirt that they would actually wear on the job. It's something wrong there.
By the way, we want to mention that you, Mike, will be in Spring Green this Saturday, right?
Correct.
At Arcadia Bookstore. Yep. What's the time on that?
2:00.
Okay. And you'll be doing a little talk about book?
I'll actually be part of a four-author showcase.
Oh, really?
So I'll be up there with three other authors, and I'll be talking about my book, Miracles Along County Q, which is sort of a tonic for mad times. Mm-hmm. You know, a story about how cruelty meets its match
mm-hmm.
as outcasts work wonders in a struggling country town. And
it's a great book.
And there'll be three other authors also who've written mysteries, and mine is a mystery of sorts.
Wisconsin authors?
Yeah, all Wisconsin authors. Mm-hmm. So Spring Green, Arcadia Bookstore is a wonderful,
it's terrific.
Independent local bookstore, and we'll be there on Saturday at 2:00.
So you're promising to reveal the ending of your story.
No, not at all. The piece I wrote for Substack is called Page 210.
Yes.
Yeah. And for those who've read the book, they can go back to 200. I was just asked, what's your favorite part of the
of course.
Part of the book? And I think a lot of people would think page 205 because a major secret gets revealed on page 205. But for me, 210 has special meaning. So I wrote this piece, but I for people that haven't read it, I'm not going to tell them what's on page 210.
But you got to buy the book. Come on.
Because you're warning people not to skip ahead and look at those pages.
And you know, the last thing you should do is pick up the book and go straight to page 210, because you should soak in the rest first.
Exactly.
I just want to get a few texts here. Citizens United are the two words that we really have to take into consideration. If we can get rid of that, we can maybe get democracy back.
Amen.
Mike, good to have you with us. We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow, Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils will join us. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. Hey, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy. You heard it on the John and Gordy Show.
That's right.
Have a great day.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.